Morning. Today's daf and brachos chav dalad. We are on the bottom of chav gimel mid beis. Continuing our discussion of tefillin, proper care of tefillin. We talked about shmiras tefillin in the beis akisa. Interesting machlokas we saw yesterday regarding beis sham and beis hillel. Regarding where is the proper, what's the proper conduct of tefillin in the bathroom? Back in the day, they wore tefillin all day. That was the minhag back then. Tefillin was just simply part and parcel of your daily routine. You put your tefillin on, you took them off at night. And that was the mitzvah shlema. And bizmanenu, nowadays we put on tefillin during shacharis, and that's it. The change of the minhag. But meanwhile, though, so you went to the bathroom, and for that meal, you went to mealtime. And what do you do with your tefillin during those periods of time? So on one hand, obviously the bathroom represents a significant challenge. You can't bring your tefillin into the bathroom. The bathroom is a place of there's soah. And it's just not a makom of kedusha, and so you're not allowed to think about Torah. Certainly, to bring a sefer Torah into the bathroom is inconceivable. Meanwhile, on the other hand, yeah, there's a mitzvah of being shomer. You have to protect your tefillin and guard your tefillin, and so you have to balance between the fact that bringing the bathroom is inappropriate, but at the same time, you also have shmira. So what did we learn yesterday? So really interesting psak of the Gemara yesterday was machlok between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says your oches, you take your tefillin, you grab him in your hand, and you bring him with you into the bathroom. And that's considered the proper care of your tefillin. Okay, that's as far as going into the bathroom is concerned. Mealtime, the Gemara spoke about it really briefly yesterday. What should be done during mealtime? So you take him off and you put him on the table. That's not a consensus viewpoint. There's differing viewpoints in terms of when you should take it off, when you should put it back on again. Okay, that was during mealtime. What about at night? Okay, so you go to bed at night. And what are you going to do with your tefillin that night? And again, the issue is that you want a proper shmira. Jack, you could sit here. They're not coming.
They're not coming?
They have a long tefillah. Okay. So now that's what we're up to. So what do you do at night? Where do you put your tefillin at night? So again, by the way, these are going to be a little bit uncomfortable discussions because really, it comes down to the fact that these are not the most appropriate places to keep your tefillin. On the other hand, well, you have to be shomer. You have to protect your tefillin. And the shmir of the tefillin manifests itself in a couple of ways, as we saw yesterday. This is all just chazara. You want to be shomer your tefillin from achbarim. In other words, there are rats and rodents who are after the tefillin. So that's one level of shmir. Another level of shmir, as we saw yesterday, was the idea that somebody's going to come and take your tefillin. And put you in a very uncomfortable situation. We saw a story yesterday where Zona took somebody's tefillin and made the person's life miserable to the point where he committed suicide. It's a tragic story. It's a terrible story. But that's another reason why you have to be shomer your tefillin. So again, all this is part of the discussion that we had yesterday, which is going to continue into today's daf. So picking up where we left off yesterday now, Bai Mine Rav Yosef Berei de Rav Nechunya Mei Rav Yehuda. Okay, so it's about 8 lines from the bottom of Chav Gimel Mid Beis. The following question was posed from Rav Yehuda. So putting your tefillin under your head, meaning you went to bed at night, and so now you want to sleep with your tefillin. Okay, it's like a gun for the soldier in the army. Okay, so it's with you at all times. So what are you going to do at night? You put it under your head, or that's the question. Can you put it under your head? So he says, look, I'm not asking them about putting it under your feet. That's certainly inappropriate. That's derech bizayon to treat your tefillin in that matter. That's not even my question. I'm not putting that on the table for discussion. I want to know, how about putting it under your head? Okay, so, in other words, again, shmira, you want to protect them. So he gives an answer. And he gives a bit of a shocking answer. He says, not only can you put him under your pillow at night, well, I gave away already some of the upcoming Gemara. Not only can you put him under your head at night and sleep with them while they're under your head, but I feel you shlimo. And you're with your wife, and now, so it's obviously a makom where being with your wife is a mitzvah, but at the same time, it's somewhat of a steer towards the kedusha of tefillin. But nevertheless, for the purpose of shmirat tefillin, you could keep them there under your bed, by your head, not by your feet. Meisvei, the Gemara now challenges based on a brisa. Lo yinich adam tefillin tachas margalosav. Mim neishol noeg behem derech bizayon. So the brisa says, don't put them under your feet because that's derech bizayon. Avam minichem tachas marashosav. But at night, you put them by your head. Vimaisa yishto imo, aser. Now the Braisa says, but if you're going to be with your wife that night, so then it's going to be aser. So hayamakum shegavo gimel tvachim namuch gimel tvachim mutter. Now if there's an area that's either higher than three tvachim or lower than three tvachim. Now higher and lower, I'm a little bit unclear. I'm just going to be honest with everyone here. I'm a little bit unclear. Higher and lower meaning higher in terms of vertical height. Higher and lower means higher in terms of where you are towards the bed. Okay, so I'm not perfectly clear. I certainly get the basic point. And then, in other words, if the tefillin are at a distance of three tefachim from you, still in the same room, but in a different location, so it's considered that it is not with you in bed. Anyway, so under those circumstances, it would be mutter.
Double bag exclude all.
We'll get to the double bag. The Gemara is going to come around to the. The Gemara is going to kind of touch on the double bag. The Gemara does not speak it out beferish, but it will. Anyway, so Tiyufta, the Shmuel Tiyufta. Okay, so now what does this Braisa represent? A stira to Shmuel. Not a stira, by the way. Shmuel's an Amora. So it knocks out the position of Shmuel. Shmuel says that you can have your tefillin under your bed even when you're with your wife. And the Braisa says, no, you can't. You can put it under your bed, but on an evening that you're going to be with your wife, you can't have your tefillin there. That's what the Braisa says. Shmuel, what's Shmuel going to say about the Braisa? Nothing. In other words, he doesn't have a defense. And then the Gemara gets interesting. Amarava afagav de tanya tiyufta de Shmuel alacha kavasei. Okay, I know we just quoted a brisa, and I know the brisa is against Shmuel, and I know Shmuel didn't have an answer. But do you know who the halacha falls like? The halacha falls like Shmuel. Okay, my taima kol l'nitirin hu tvei adif. Over here we're talking about shmira, and as long as shmira becomes the issue, so shmira becomes now the overarching detail or consideration when it comes to tefillin. Now, it's a really interesting conclusion of the Gemara, meaning I have Shmuel and I have Braisa. The Braisa is against Shmuel. Tiyufta de Shmuel. Yeah, but we're talking about Shmira, therefore, we're gonna go with the position of Shmuel. You're not going to find many occasions in the Gemara where the Gemara does that. You have an Amara against a Braisa. We're siding with the Amara because the Svara of the Amara is just simply better than that of the Braisa. Okay, so we're in a rare area of the Gemara in terms of what the Gemara did in terms of concluding a halacha. Now, we're precisely going to put him in the bed. So, okay, so we've now just concluded that the tefillin are going to go with you and they're going to be placed in your bed. Everyone's in agreement, not by your feet, but by your head. And a machlok is whether you can do that even afilu ishto imo, yes or no. The Gemara sides with, yes, even if the person's with his wife. So where exactly are you going to put him? So the Gemara is going to give a couple of suggestions. We start off, we're on the very top of Chavdal Amad Aleph, second line down. Amar of Yirmiyah Bain Karla Kessis. Shalok Neged Rosha. So it's going to be between the blank and the pillow, or between the bed and the pillow. Shalok Neged Rosh. Meaning not directly underneath your head. So in other words, to the side, under the pillow, but to the side where your head is not. Okay. Vahatini Rebbe Chia. Menichim Mekova Tachz Merash Osav. So the Gemara quotes the Ebraisa of Rebbe Chia, where it describes that the tefillin are going to be kept somewhere in your hat. Okay, so you have some sort of shlofkapel. Okay, and okay, most people know what I'm talking about. So the tefillin is in the hat, and so the Gemara says now that lechora is right up against the head, isn't it? So the Gemara says not necessarily demafikli lemursha dekova labar. No, it's hard for me to describe this, and a picture over here would be great. But in other words, but there's somewhere in the hat. There's an opening that goes away from the head, and that's where the tefillin is kept in some sort of side pocket in the hat. Mm-hmm. Okay, again, if I had a picture of it, it would be much more helpful in terms of understanding it.
Yeah, it's a long hat,
like, it's a long hat right, with a pom-pom on the top. I get the basic idea. Okay, that's number one. No, it's. I assume it's his. No, I don't think so. Okay, so bar kaparet sirle bekilte. Umapik lemor shem labar. Bar Kapara, the Gemara tells us another Maiserav. Bar Kapara, what he would do is he would tie it to the canopy. So the canopy had various pockets in it. So he would insert it in one of the pockets of the canopy. And again, labar, it faced the outside, meaning it didn't face the interior to the bed, but it faced to the outside. Excuse me. Rav Shisha Bar Yehuda Rav Idi Manach Lehu Ashar Shafei. Rav Shishi Bar Yehuda Rav Idi would put it on a bench. That's the way Rashi explains the word shar shafei. Upari sudre ilave. And then what he would do is that he would put some sort of bag on top of it. And this could be the Gemara's source. The Gemara doesn't, in this context, the Gemara doesn't talk about kiss betoch kiss, although everyone discusses it after the Gemara. The Rishonim discuss it, the Halacha discusses it. But here you get at least some sort of remez in the Gemara to this idea that it should be insulated again and again, meaning put it on the bench, but that's not enough, but put it in a bag on the bench. So that's another Maaser Rav in terms of what would be done with the tefillin. So again, to the question of where should the tefillin be kept at night? So Shmuel's position is it should be kept by you in the bed for proper shmira. And by the way, we can go back to what we learned in yesterday's daf as well. Shmira goes both ways. Meaning shmira is that you're guarding the tefillin, and like we saw the Amoraim say yesterday, we saw Rav Yochanan say this, and yesterday's Gemara. Also, it's going to give you a shmira, because in the bathroom there were mazikin. Okay, so shmira does go in both directions. So anyway, so the question is exactly where in the bed do you keep it? So we saw three of the Amoraim give detail in terms of where they kept it by them at bed at night. Amar Rav Amnuna b'Reid Rav Yosef Zimna Chad Ahava Kamnei Kamei D'Rava. There was an occasion where we were by Rava. V'Amar Li Zil Aisi Li Tefillin. And Rava gave me instruction. You know what? Do me a favor. Go get me my tefillin. V'Ashke Chasina Ben Kala Kesses Shalom Kedeged Rosho. And so I went into his bedroom. I went into his bed, and I found the tefillin. I'm telling you precisely where I found them, under the pillow, but not where his head was. I guess in the pillow there was a depression. Exactly where his head was. And so I saw the tefillin were under his pillow, but a little bit to the side of his head. V'hava yadina diyam tefillah hava. So, and I also happen to know that he was with his wife last night, and we've already, this is not new for us. Meaning, we see that Bizman the Amoraim, and we go back to the Tanaim as well, but Bizman the Amoraim, so this kind of what we would call personal information, very personal information, so in terms of Torah, it's still part and parcel of Torah, and it was still necessary for Rava to teach regarding proper conduct of tefillin, and so therefore, yes, it's information which you normally do not disclose from a tzniyah standpoint, but for the purposes of Torahi, v'sarach ani lo mod, so therefore it was communicated. So it was Yom Tevila, he ulagmar nalach l'maisa u'david. And the reason why he sent me to the room in order to fetch his tefillin is so that I would learn that this was the practice of Rava, that he kept his tefillin under his pillow at night, Shalom Keneged Arosh, and even though he was with his wife. And that's because that's the halacha psuka, that's the accepted halacha. Okay, by me name Rav Yosef Berei de Rav Nechunya, me Rav Yehuda, Shnaim Sheyeshenim Bemita Achas, Mao Shezeh Yachzip, I'm sorry. Shnaim, let me do this again. Shnaim Sheyeshenim Bemita Achas, Mahu, Shezeh Yachzip Panav Yikar Kirishma, Vezeh Yachzip Panav Yikar Kirishma. So, how about the following? Two people sleeping in a bed at night. Okay, let's go back to a time where it was totally normative practice for people to sleep in the bed together. Now, we're not talking about husband and wife right now. We're just talking about two people. Also, I know it's indelicate, but it's a simple pshat in the Gemara, and that they weren't clothed. And so, therefore, are they now in a position where they could say Kriya Shema? So, again, Kriya Shema is a mitzvah at night. And so we saw on the day one of the Masechta, Rashi said, the Kriya Shema Alamita is the Kriya Shema that you're going to be saying in order to be Yotzi, the Kriya Shema after Tzeis HaKochavim. I understand that Rashi is controversial and Tosfos disagree with it. But anyway, you're saying Shema in bed at night, okay? For either because of Kriya Shema Alamita or because of Shema Shomariv, whatever the case is. And so now, in these quote-unquote inappropriate situations, now we're going to define that better because we're learning Gemara right now. And we're speaking now just in terms of halacha. So is it okay halachically to say Kriya Shema in such a situation? Now, what the Gemara here is suggesting is as follows. Facing one another, I understand, no. One erva is facing another person's erva, that's totally inappropriate. But if we turn our backs to one another, so under those circumstances, would it be okay for each person to say Kriya Shema? Just give me a second. Everything's going to be spelled out. Gemara is going to go through a number of situations. So we're going to spend some time with this. So Amalei Hachem Shmuel Vafilu Ishto Imo. So Shmuel says, yes you can. And even if that second person is your wife, it would be fine. So in other words, husband and wife in bed together, and they're not clothed, but but nevertheless, as long as their backs are to one another, so then he could say Shema. So Maskev L'Rav Yosef Ishto V'lo Mibay Acher, Adar Rabbi Ishto Kegufo, Acher Lav Kegufo. So Rav Yosef argues with the thought process of Shmuel. Rav Shmuel saying you could do it even when you're with your wife. And Rav Yosef says, what do you mean even when you're with your wife? when you're with your wife, so you're living with her all the time, and we have a halachic consideration of ishto kegufo, then you and your wife are one entity, right? That's a pasuk in the Torah. V'yula basar echad. So the idea that you could say shema when you're with your wife, that's not a chiddush. In other words, she's just an extension of you. So if you want to tell me that you could say shema with your wife, I'll accept that. But then don't extend it to somebody else. That's achir. That's not your wife. So Rav Yosef and Shmuel are having a really interesting debate in terms of whether the wife is the chiddush. Or whether or not, no, that's a starting of the discussion, and from there it would entertain a chiddush. Meitzvah, the Gemara now is going to bring a brisa. Shleim sheishen b'mita achas zemach zepan avikore v'zemach zepan avikore. So in the brisa we just quoted, so we don't know who's in the bed together, but two people are in a bed together, and the brisa says that as long as they are now back to back, so then they could both reach ma. So v'tanya chrita, and we have another brisa. Hayeshem b'mita uvanav v'nei beisa b'tzido. A person's in the bed, and he's there with his children, and B'nai Beso. Now, B'nai Beso presumably is his wife. Okay, we'll come back to that. So, Harei Zeh Lo Ikar Kriyashma, Elam Kein Haisa Talisa Mafsekes B'naihem. So, you can't say Kriyashma until there is something actually separating you and the other people of the bed. V'imayu Banav B'nai Beso Ketanim Otar. Now, if the Banav B'nai Beso Ketanim, now, that's where it gets tricky to say that B'nai Beso is your wife. But, okay. It's not impossible to say it, but it gets trickier. But the point is that if they're ketanim, so then they don't qualify as an erva, and so therefore it would be fine to say shema even in that situation. Now, what we have is we just quoted two brisas, one right after the other. In the first brisa, we said very clearly, just go back to back, and it's fine. In the second brisa, no, you need something actually physically separating you and the other people in the bed in order for you to say shema. So that's called a stira between the two brisas. How do we resolve that stira? So Bisham Rav Yosef Lokasha Habi Ishto Haba Acher. So now let's go back to the Machlokus Amoraim that we had just moments earlier. So according to Rav Yosef, perfect. The Brisa that says that there's no problem whatsoever saying Shema as long as you're back to back, even though there's nothing separating you and the other person. So that's Ishto, that's talking about your wife, which is Ishto Kegufo, and therefore there's no problem. The other Brisa that says that you need something physically separating you and you and that other person. That's talking about where it's not your wife, it's somebody else, another member of your family, whatever the case is. So good, so we have, according to Rav Yosef, we have an extraordinarily easy way of resolving the stira between the two brises. Good. Now we get to the problem. Elu Shmuel Kasha. So, but according to Shmuel, now it's difficult. Because Shmuel said that Ishto is the Chiddush, meaning you can for sure do it with somebody else in the bed, and you can even do it if it's your wife. That's Shmuel's position. So according to Shmuel, again, the Svara is difficult, as Rav Yosef himself pointed out, but even beyond the Svara, now you have a competing brises, one against the other, and there's no way to resolve it, according to Shmuel. Because according to Shmuel, you could say Shema with anyone in bed as long as it's back-to-back. So Kasha, Amlecha Shmuel, Rav Yosef Minicha. So the Gemara says, Shmuel says, look, you're right, it's difficult for me. And now this is the second time this morning where Shmuel is up against the brisa. Okay, and the first time this morning didn't work out well for Shmuel. Now, in the second time where Shmuel's up against the Brisa, Shmuel's going to basically say, look, the Brisa is against me. I'm with you on that. However, for the person I'm arguing with right now currently, Rav Yosef, it's not getting much better. So the Rav Yosef, Minicha V'atanya, and here he quotes another Brisa. Haya Yashan B'mita, he was in bed. Ubanavu B'nei Beso B'mita. And he had his family and his B'nei Beso. Now again, over here, B'nai Beso probably is a reference to his wife. That's what Rashi says. Tosos over here on this Brisa has a different girsa altogether. You can see the last Tosos over here where he quotes. I'm just reading the last three lines of that Tosfos. He prefers the girsa of Hayayasha Mamita V'ishto Yishena B'tzido. It's his wife that's with him. So in his girsa, it says Beferish, it's his wife. In any event, Lo Yikar Kriyash Malim Kenaisa Talisa Mavsekas B'naihem, this Brisa says the Beferish, that even with your wife in bed with you, you need something separating you and your wife. Yes. Now this Brisa is going against Rav Yosef, meaning Shmuel says, fine, it's going against me. That wonderful. But it's also going against Rav Yosef as well. So what Rav Yosef is going to answer you, I know what he's going to answer you. Okay, this Brisa is one Brisa's opinion. It's one Tana's opinion. And there are other Tanaim who argue. So Tanaihi, it's a Machlokas Tanaim. That's what Rav Yosef is going to say. You know what I'm going to say? I'll say the same thing. That within my position, I don't agree with Rav Yosef, but within my position, Also machlokes tanaim. Okay. Where do we stand right now? We are in the middle of discussing whether or not a man could say Kriya Shema when someone else is in bed with him. So if it's a family member other than a wife that's in bed with him, so when they are facing one another, they can't, their erevos are facing one another, that is an inappropriate situation to say Shema. What if they're back to back? So we're not talking about one's wife, we're talking about another family member. So what if they're back to back? So machlok is between Rav Yosef and Shmuel. Shmuel's of the opinion that under those circumstances it would be okay, it would still be okay. And Rav Yosef says no. By Ishto, it's acceptable because Ishto kegufo. By any other person, it's not acceptable. Okay, so we're in the middle of this machlokas. The Gemara says, here's the interesting part of this machlokas. Amar mar, zepanav v'kori kriyashma v'ha'ika agavos. So the Gemara says, okay, but look. They went back to back with one another. Their ervas are not facing one another. But still, their rear sides are touching one another. And isn't that a violation of erva? And shma b'makom erva? So the Gemara says, Misaila l'Ravuna, dam Ravuna, agavos ein b'yem isham erva. And so the Gemara says, okay, and this supports the statement made by Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that agavos, the backside of a person, does not qualify as an erva. Lema misayile l'Rav Huna, the Gemara says, I'll bring a brisa that's going to support Rav Huna. And that is Aisha Yeshevis v'kotza l'chalta aruma, mibnei shi'chol l'chasus paneh b'karka, avalo ish. So the Mishnah over here in Chala tells us the following. A woman who is being mafresh Chala and not wearing any clothing. Of course that's unusual. Of course, that's strange. The Mishnah over here is just telling us, just giving us the scenario. It's a really strange scenario, just to highlight the halachic differences between men and women as it relates to the erva. The woman who's sitting now and she's separating challah and she's not wearing clothing, she can do so. Now, in terms of the hafrashas challah, so again, it's unusual, it's awkward, right? But what's the problem? The problem, as Rashi points out over here, is that she's going to say a bracha. And when you're being mafresh challah, so it's a mitzvah, and you're going to make a bracha, it's a mitzvah. In saying a bracha, it's a mitzvah, you're going to be saying Shem Hashem. And so you're not allowed to say Shem Hashem while exposed to erva. That has been the consideration for now almost half of our amud so far this morning. And so therefore, when a woman's sitting on the floor, she may do so. Why? So the Mishnah says, because her erva is going to be covered, meaning just the anatomy of the woman is such that her erva is now facing down and is going to be covered, and therefore she could be mafrish and she could be saying a bracha. Now, I know it's strange because there are other parts of her body which we normally describe as being erva that's exposed. But the actual erva itself, right, is in fact going to be covered. But when it comes to a man, so again, just because of the anatomy of the man, the physiology of the man, so the man's erva is not covered when he's sitting, it's going to be exposed. Okay, so, but what we get from all this is that her erva is going to be covered, but there are going to be parts of her backside that are going to be revealed. Meaning her entire backside is not going to be sitting in the ground. That's what the Gemara is thinking right now. And so this supports Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know what? It may support Rav Huna, but I can argue. So Tirgam Rav Nachmar Yitzchak Kagon Shayapana to Chos Bekarka. It could be that there was a small depression in the ground, and that as she was sitting in the ground, not only is her erva covered, but also her backside's going to be covered as well. Meaning it's fully in the depression within the ground. So not only is the erva covered, but also the rear is going to be covered as well. And so therefore, it doesn't necessarily prove that prove Rav Huna's point that agavos ein behem yishem erva. Amamar im hayu banav nebeso ketanim mutar. Okay, we also send the brisa that if you are in bed with the family members and you and them do not have clothing and you want to say the Shema, so if they're ketanim, that would be mutar. In this halacha, what qualifies as ketanim? V'yakam amrav chista tinokus b'ashal shanim v'yom echad v'tinok ben tisha shanim v'yom echad. So 3 years for a girl, 9 years for a boy. Why? As we've said time and again throughout Shas, because now they're roi l'tashmish. Once a girl is three, she's ru'uya l'tashmish. Once a boy is at nine, he's roi l'tashmish. So ikidami now in another version of this halacha tinokes bas yud alaf shana v'yom echad v'tinok ben shtem esrei shana v'yom echad. So 11 years old for a girl and 12 years old for a boy. Now in this version, so what are these ages represent? So what these ages represent now is when they're not only right labia, but they are physically desirable. And so so obviously the consideration over here is that if they're in the bed with you and there's no physical separation, so now there's an issue of hearer. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Yechezkel, which we say every Seder every year at the Seder. And that is that we have now reached the point where they're starting physical development, and that will lead to Hirhurim. Earlier this morning, the beginning of today's daf, we had a brisa. It went kineged the opinion of Shmuel. And yet, because of the consideration of Shmir Satfilin, so therefore we sided with Shmuel, even though a brisa went against him. Hacha mai. What do we say over here? So again, second time today that we have a position of Shmuel, and it goes against a brisa. So over here, and Shmuel's position over here was that the that you could say Shema in when you're in the bed with somebody, as long as you're back to back, and it could be your wife and it could be anybody else. That was Shmuel's position. Are we following Shmuel even though the brisa goes against him? So Amalei Atukula Bechad Machta Machtinan Elahechad Idmar Idmar Vehechad Al Idmar Lo Idmar. So the Gemara says, look, just because on one occasion we went like Shmuel, even though it was connected to brisa, don't now think that we're always going to go like Shmuel. That's not how it works. When the Gemara decides, when the Amoraim decide that we're going to go like Shmuel, Afilu, even when he's connected to Brisa, fine. But if we don't say it, we don't say it. Amalei Rav Mari Lo Rav Papa, Seir Yotze Bebigdo Mahu. So the Gemara asks again another indelicate question. But in the context of Erva, they're all going to be indelicate. So the Gemara says, let's say the person, his Erva's covered, but he has one of his hairs that are exposed. Okay, so his zipper's not fully zippered in. So one of the hairs now is going through in. So you see a seyar. So is that now considered erva? So karola seyar seyar. So it gives an answer that without Rashi, it's hard to know what exactly he's saying. So he says that's just a hair. But that's the way to read it. Meaning, obviously, what's important is not just to read the words of the Gemara, but with the proper intonation. And seyar seyar, the way Rashi says, it's just a hair. Meaning that does not have the halachic status of erva, and that would be fine. Okay, Chavdal Amad Aleph, in Brachos, here we are, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Tefach Risha Erva. So a Tefach by a woman is considered Erva. Now, Tefach by a woman is considered Erva, so what is this making reference to? So again, the starting point of the Gemara's discussion over here is that a man is not allowed to say Shema, or learn Torah, or Davin, if he is in an area where there's an Erva over there. Now, what is an Erva? So an Erva is the immodest areas of a woman. Now, even as we say the immodest areas of the woman, so we can further subdivide and categorize. Meaning the actual erva, the makum erva itself, that's an erva min haTorah, right? Well, like we saw the Mishnah Challah just moments earlier, where the woman is sitting down and her actual erva is being covered by the ground. Okay, that's one area. But then there's another area which is also considered an erva area, and that's the areas that are normally covered. Right, her torso, her shoulders, right, her upper legs. So those are areas that are normally covered. They're also going to have the status of being an erva. And what the Gemara is telling us now, what Rav Yitzchak is telling us, is that if a little bit of this area is exposed, so then you can't say Shema. You're in a position where you're unable to say Shema. The Gemara is going to spell this out. So I'm Rav Yitzchak Tefach B'Yisha Erva. So if a Tefach of this area, now, I didn't fully define what this area is. Mm-hmm. Torso, shoulders, upper legs. We're gonna actually, over the course of these short lines of Gemara, it's not a lot of Gemara, we're going to try to give a definition to what these areas are. If a tefach of this area is exposed, so then a man cannot say Shema. Lamai. Ilem elastukuliba. Now the Gemara says, now what are we talking about? The issue of istaklus, of looking at a woman? So the Gemara says that has nothing to do with the erva. The Ha'amar of Sheshas, Lama Mana Akas of Tachshitim Shebechot, Im Tachshitim Shebefnim. After we went to war with Midian, we came back from the spoils of war, we came back with jewelry. And the Torah was not shy. The Torah talks about the various jewelry that we came back from war with. Jewelry that was worn externally, jewelry that was worn internally. Okay, if you don't fully understand what I mean by that, I'm not going to read the Rashi right now. I'm going to advise you to read the Rashi and see what we're talking about when we're talking about interior jewelry. Okay, so but anyway, the Torah talks about both types of jewelries. And what the Torah is telling us is that if you're interested in looking at a woman, even at her hand, which is not a makum erva, but if your interest is to gaze at a woman, so then it's ke'ilo, it's as if you're looking at the makum atoreif. So for the Isser of Istaklis, it has nothing to do with what's a makum erva, what's not a makum erva. You could be looking at the areas of a woman that are normally uncovered. and still be in violation, in perfect violation of istaklus, the isra of istaklus. So ella beishto lo kriyashma. So we're talking about with one's wife in kriyashma, meaning that we're talking about the areas that are normally covered, and if a tefach of that area is normally uncovered, so you can't say, you're not allowed to say kriyashma. That's what we're talking about. Amar Rav Chista, the Gemara.
She said naked before.
Huh?
Before we said she's naked in bed. So what?
Yeah, but you were. But then they went back to back, so they didn't see one another.
That was my
question. Okay, so Amrav Chista Shok BeIsha Erva. So the Gemara over here now is going to give a little bit of definition of what the Mekomos HaMechusim are, the areas that are normally covered. So the Gemara here talks about the Shok, right? Now I'll say leg, but in just a moment I'll try to give further legal definition to what that means. Shenemar, the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Yeshayahu, Gali Shok Avrina Aro Suksiv. And another pasuk from Yeshayahu, Tagel Vascha v'gam Tirecher Pascha, so that the leg area is considered now a makom erva, meaning it's the makomos hamechusim. It's in areas that are normally covered, and so therefore, if the leg is exposed, so then a man cannot say kriyashma when he's in such an when he is literally exposed to such an area. We talk about the leg over here. What exactly, which parts of the leg need to be covered? So machlokus, the Prima Gadim quotes, Mishnah Berurah quotes the Prima Gadim. That the leg over here is for really what we describe as the thigh, meaning going down to the knee. So that area needs to be covered. So the Chazon Ish is of the opinion that no, that in the context of this Gemara's discussion, shok over here means what we would call the entire leg, all the way down to the ankle. Okay, and so various communities have various menhagim in terms of which position to adopt, in terms of what areas need to be covered. But anyway, so the shok is considered a mekamos hamechusim and need to be covered. Okay, Amr Shmuel kol beisha erva. The voice of a woman also qualifies as an erva. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Shir Shirim, speaking to the voice of a woman being an erva. And that means, again, in the context of our discussion, that if you are in the presence of a woman singing, you are not able to say Shema, because the voice, the singing voice, is going to distract you and create hirurim while you are trying to say Shema. Amar Shisha Serbi Sheerva. The Gemara says that the hair of a woman is considered erva. Shenemar sarecha eder hayzim. Again, another pasuk in Shir Hashirim speaking to the hair also being considered an erva. And so therefore, if a man is in front of a woman's hair that is exposed, he can't say Shema. Okay. I'll just quote the Aruch HaShulchan, because that's what everyone does when they get to this Gemara. And I feel like I'll just mention it. The Aruch HaShulchan talks about how perhaps on this issue, one is allowed to say Shema if in the presence of a woman's hair that is exposed. The Aruch HaShulchan is not writing regarding the requirement of a woman to cover her hair. The Aruch HaShulchan says it very clearly. Look at the Aruch HaShulchan inside. It is Siman Ayin Hay. I don't remember which shif. But look at the Aruch HaShulchan inside. In other words, a married woman covers her hair. The Aruch HaShulchan says that's the halacha. We're only talking about in the ability to say kriyashma. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, look, we live in a community, right? The Aruch HaShulchan was a Navardic in the end of the 19th century. So the I just read an article in Navardic. Mishpacha? Okay, yeah, you saw the same article. Anyway, so the Aruch HaShulchan was a Navardic. And, okay, the Aruch HaShulchan writes it, so I therefore get to say it. But the women in Navardic weren't covering their hair. So he writes, since we're so used to now this condition of walking around with women whose hair is uncovered, so therefore he writes, I think we could say Shema even though we're in the presence of hair. But it has nothing to do with the women covering their hair. He says, of course, married women have to cover their hair. But in terms of this halacha, there is some flexibility. Okay. Am Rabbi Chanin Ani Reisi Es Rabbi Shetala Tfilaso. Okay, moving on. Okay, so we are now going to leave the topic of tefillin at night. Care for tefillin at night, saying Shema in b'makom erva, b'makom mekomos hamechusim. Okay, that topic is closed down in the Gemara, and we continue. We're in the very bottom of Chaf Dalef Amud Aleph, and I'm Rabbi Chanina. Ani Reisis Rabbi Shetal Tefillin. Rabbi Chanina says, going back to tefillin care and how to care for your tefillin. So I saw him. So what did he do? So you go into the house, you have a hat rack, you put your hat on it, you put your coat on it. So Rebbe, he had a tefillin rack, and he put his tefillin on the tefillin rack. So shetal tefillin. So Meisher, the Gemara says, now, I don't understand. I thought that behavior is totally inappropriate. The Gemara quotes the Braisa. Hatol tefillin yitlu lo chayav. You hang your tefillin, your life is going to be hung. Okay, now, I know what I'm saying. In other words, that doesn't mean anything. It certainly has a bad connotation, right? It's not good. So the she'ilo lo chayav. Dorshei chamuros amru. Dorshei chamuros is a description of people who took on the job of trying to explain difficult psukim. Va'yu chayecha tuluyim lach mineged. In the Tochacha, in Parshas Kisavo, the Torah says that your life is going to be hanging. What does that mean? That's all tefillin. So that's referring to a person who hangs his tefillin on the rack. That's not an appropriate way to deal with your tefillin. So lokasha habirutzu habikitzitza. So the Gemara says, well, it depends. If you're hanging it by the straps, so that is not proper kavod towards your tefillin, and so that's not good. That's the pasuk in the Tochacha. But if you have a rack where you get to put the kitzitza, the actual bias on the rack, so now it sits there comfortably and securely, that's okay. Another possibility, says the Gemara, is that Rebbe, that no, you're not allowed to hang your tefillin, period. Not by the straps, not by the bias. What Rebbe did is he put him in a bag and he hung the bag, but the tefillin were wrapped and put in a bag. The Gemara says, well, I would have thought, look, what's proper storage regarding a Sefer Torah? It needs a hanacha, it needs to be munach. Sefer Torah has to be placed in an aron and sitting grounded. When it comes, however, to tefillin, you could have made the argument that the same thing is true by tefillin, that it has to be sitting on the ground or something that is grounded. No, that's the Chiddush of Rebbe. It was wrapped, it was in a bag. It wasn't hanging by its straps or neither by the bias. I might have thought that it should still be munach bekarka like the Sefer Torah. The Chiddush is no, doesn't have to be munach. Am Rabbi Chanina, ani reisis Rabbi Shegiye kopiyek v'nitatesh v'rak omemashmeshet bebigdal. Avalo yamis atef. Okay, so Rabbi Chanina is giving voice to things that he saw Rabbi do. And so one of the things that he saw Rabbi do was hang his tefillin, and we just explained what that means. And now, other things I saw Rebbe do. In the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. So what did he do? So the, So let's just go in the order as presented in the Gemara. So just turn back to the bottom of the previous Amud. Ani reisis Rebbe shegiyek upihek. He coughed and he sneezed. Nitatesh sneezed. Right, I'm sorry. The gihek or biek. He belched, and gihek. Right, he's
yawned.
He yawned. Thank you. Okay, fine. Right, so he yawned. He belched. He sneezed. He spit. Okay, now top of the next amud, and umemashmashas bebigdo. And what he did is he had a louse on his body, and he basically crushed the louse with his garment. Okay. Yes. All behaviors that are right that are somewhat unseemly. We're going to make points of all these. Avalo hayam is atef. Now, when his towel fell off, he did not put it back on again. Ukishu mepaik hayam aniach yado asantaro. Now, when it was that he belched, so he put his hand over his mouth. Oh, okay, good. So So when he yawned, he put his hand over his mouth. Meitzvei, the Gemara now is going to challenge this on the basis of many different braises. So Amashmir kolah b'tfilasa harei zeh mikatnei emuna. The braise says that if you are going to say your tefillah out loud, so you are of little faith. So Amagbir kolah b'tfilasa harei zeh minivya sheker. Now if you start screaming, you're davening, so you're nivya sheker. Right? Remember Eliyahu Bahar Carmel? And the Nevi'im are screaming out to the top of their top of their lungs. Okay, and if you're like that in Shemoneh Esrei, you're Nevi'ei Sheker. Kadosh Baruch Hu can hear you, right? You don't have to raise your voice.
Only Shemoneh
Esrei? Presumably. It's a good question. I'm not sure. So now Megayik Mepayik Harizim Megase Ruach. And then we're still in the Brisa, and the Brisa says that if you burp or if you yawn, so you're a Gase Ruach. That's arrogance in the middle of your Shemoneh Esrei. Right. Imagine you're in a conversation with somebody, you're yawning right in the middle of the conversation. Okay, you're showing real interest in the conversation, aren't you? So the hamit atish b'tfilaso siman ra'lo. Now, if you sneeze in the middle of your Shemoneh Esrei, that's a bad sign. In another version, it's you're a disgusting individual. Spitting is like spitting right in front of a king. Okay, so we got a lot of work to do, because Rebbe is guilty of all these things that we just described in the Braisa as things you should not be doing while saying Shmoneh Esrei. And so we have to be miyashev the niyug of Rebbe and everything we just learned in the Braisa. And so the Gemara goes to work. So Bishlam and Megayakum and Paik Lokasha, Kanlonso, Kanlonsono. So the Gemara says, as far as burping and yawning is concerned, so the Gemara says, that's not a stira. If it's an involuntary yawn, if it's an involuntary burp, okay, what are you going to do about it? What Rebbe did was involuntary. That was la'ones. And I guess Rebbe Chanina is there to tell us that he did it to make sure that we understood this distinction, that be'ones, it's fine. Be'ratzon, it's not okay. Ela mit'atesh, amit'atesh kasha. Now the sneezing. So, no, it's funny. The Gemara could have said the same thing. That involuntary, it's an involuntary sneeze. But the Gemara, however, has a different distinction to make. Mit'atesh amit'atesh is not milokasha. Sneezing, it's not a kasha. Kana, mi'lamala kamalamata. Sneezing from above versus sneezing from below. Sneezing from above, we call that a sneeze. Sneezing from below, we call that flatulence. And so what Rebbe did was sneezing from above. That's good. Sneezing from below to flatulate, that's not good. So the Amr of Zera Hamilse Ivlauli Bey Rav Hamnuna Utekiluli Kikule Tamuda. So Rav Zera says, I learned this from Rav Hamnuna. To me, it's worth all of Talmud. Meaning I assign high value to this particular halacha. Hamitatish bitfila so simen yafalo. You sneeze in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, that's a good sign. That's a very good sign. The kishem shosim lo nachas ruach milamala. I'm sorry, milamata. Kachosin lo nachas ruach milamala. Why is it a good sign? Because after a sneeze, how do you feel? So you feel better, right? Rashi. Ha'itush nachas ruach la'adam. Right, after a good sneeze. So what a relief. And so therefore, that same feeling that you have down here, so Kosh Baruch Hu experiences that same feeling, and so therefore, a good sneeze during Shmoneh Esrei, it's a wonderful thing. Good. So now, in terms of the yawning and burping, Be'ones, it was fine, and Rebbe did Be'ones. As far as sneezing, so sneezing is fine. Not only is it fine, it's a Siman Tov in the middle of your Shmoneh Esrei. The Braisa that says it's not good, that's not talking about sneezing. That's talking about passing gas. El Araka Rakash, and now spitting. So Rebbe spat in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. And the Braisa says, don't you dare. It's like doing it in front of a king. So Raka Rak Nami Lokashi Afshar Kedar Rav Yehuda Dam Rav Yehuda Ayah Ome Betfila V'Nizdam Lo Rok Mavlio Betaliso. Okay, so what if you have an aggregate of phlegm or spit in your mouth, and it's the middle of Shmoneh Esrei? So to spit it out, so in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, that's not appropriate. So what do you do? So you just spit it right into your talus. Okay. What if it's a nice talus, and you don't want to do it right into your talus? So Vim Talus Nahi. Mavlio ba'afar kasoso. So you put it in another, I can call it a handkerchief, right? Rashi describes it as something connected to your hat. Okay, anyway, Ravina avakai achori de Ravashi, and the Gemara tells the story. Ravina's right behind Ravashi, and his dam in larok, and he had some saliva forming in his mouth. Patke lachore, he spit it right behind him. Amalei lo sevel amar lahad Rav Yehuda, mavlio ba'afar kasoso. He says, what'd you just do? Spit it behind you. In other words, take a handkerchief, put a spin to a handkerchief. Amalei ana anina daite. He says, I'm an istinus. That would really disgust me. I can't do that. Okay, so I spit behind me. Okay. Hamashmiya kolo betfilasar rezem mekat ne'emuna. Okay, so basically, as expected, we defended Rebbe. Okay, so he did all these actions during Shmoneh Esrei. The Braisa says you're not allowed to do all these actions. Then we defended everyone making chiluk in between what Rebbe did versus what the Braisa said. In the Braisa, we also said that you're not allowed to raise your voice in Shmoneh Esrei. So Amashmir Kol B'Tfilasar Rizemikat Ne'emuna Amar Ravuna Loshana L'Shiach Olachavin Es Libo B'Lachash Aval Ein Yachol Olachavin Es Libo B'Lachash Muter. Okay, now what if saying the words in a very low volume? What if it doesn't give you the proper kavana? What if saying the words at a higher volume? It's not because you lack emuna, it's just simply because it gives you better kavana when you're actually saying the words and you're hearing what you're saying. So then good. So then raise your voice. However, continues the Gemara, that's when you're davening at home by yourself. But if you're davening in a tzibur, so there are other people to take into consideration. So yes, your kavanah would be improved if you raise your voice, but there are other people there in the room davening. So therefore, the consideration of the other people is going to overweigh your improved kavanah by raising your voice just a little bit. Rabbi Abba kavmisham minayd Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Abba was hiding from Rabbi Yehuda. So to have a kabbai lemesik lari disrael, because Rabbi Abba wanted to do something radical. He wanted to make aliyah, and he knew Rabbi Yehuda's position. And that is, it is not the right time to make aliyah. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Kol ha'olam mibavel ha'yitzis over ba'asei." I know this is going to sound shocking. The Gemara says this a couple of times throughout Shas. This is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Obviously, other Amoraim do not agree with him. His own student didn't agree with him. So Rabbi Yehuda said that if you go from bavel to Eretz Yisrael, you're in a violation of an iser asei. Shenamra bavel yavo v'shama yiyu ayom pakti osam num Hashem. Pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, I'm sending you to Bavel. And you know when to come back? Biyom Pakti. Right? Pakod Yivkod. Right? When it's clearly the time for you to come back. Now, it's so interesting, by the way, because think about this. This is written by Yirmiyahu HaNavi. This is at the end of Bais Rishon. What happens? Right? 70 years after Churban Bais HaMikdash, Bais Sheni is being built. And Bais Sheni is being built, and what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu say? Okay, now it's time to come back. So it's really, really hard to understand. You're using a pasuk in Yirmiyahu to describe a tkufa, a historical area, historical era of the Amorayim. Okay, it really requires better understanding, more thought. Okay, so you're in violation of an asay. So Amra Ezov Yeshma Minei Milsa Mi Beis Vada Vahada Afik. He says, but you know what? One last year. Meaning, I'm really going to miss Rav Yehuda, and so for one last year, I'm going to go to Rav Yehuda. I'm going to listen in on Shir, and then I'm going to go to Eretz Yisrael. As Ashkechel Tana de Ketani Kamei de Rav Yehuda. Now there was a Tana teaching brises in front of Rav Yehuda, and the brisa that was taught goes as follows: Haya Omid Betfila Benitatesh Mamtim Ad Shichale Haruach VeChozer Mispala. So a person is in the middle of Shmona Esrei and Nitatesh. Now in the context of this brisa, we're not talking about sneezing. We're talking about passing gas. So what you should do is stop your Shemoneh Esrei, stop saying your Shemoneh Esrei, ad sheichaleh haruach, until the gas dissipates. And then go back to your tefillah. Meaning wait for the smell to go by.
You should take off your tefillin too, no?
Presumably. And it could be that the Brisa over here is just referencing where you weren't, you're wearing your tefillin, but it sounds like you're right. Igadarmi now, in another version of the Brisa, ayomid betfillah bikesh leitatesh. And here in the Brisa, you just have this overwhelming sense that you have to pass gas. So marchik la'achor of dal amos and metatesh. What you do is you move from your spot. Now I know Shmona Esrei, right? You're standing in one spot. You're not allowed to move. So normally that's true, but sometimes you move. And here's an example of where you move, where you need to pay. You need to pass gas. So what you do is you back up four amos. Umamtim ashiyachala ruach v'chozer mespala. And it goes without saying, but of course I'm going to say it, that if there are other people there in the room, so then you have to take those people into consideration as well, and not just your own Shmona Esrei. It was too obvious a point, but it's okay. I get to say it. And then just a small tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you say basically to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, you know we're human. Okay? This is the human condition. Right? It's embarrassing. Obviously it's embarrassing, but it's a human condition, and you know this. You made us. So on one hand, please forgive me. On the other hand, you understand. Okay? I that was a loose translation of the tefillah. I didn't give a literal translation. So umaschal mimakum shepasak, and then where do you pick it up? You pick it up from where you left off. So amalei ilu lo bati ala lishma davarzeh dayai. Now, you and I may describe that halacha as being like it's a halacha. Yeah. Meanwhile, Rabbi Abba was just enthralled. If I was here just for that halacha, dayenu, that it would have been worth it. He was super excited by that particular halacha. Okay, good. Tanu Rabbanan hayayashi metilesu v'enu yachol lahosi es rosho, mimnei atzina. So, a person is in bed and it's freezing and he can't lift his head out. Now, again, we're talking about someone who's sleeping with no clothing on. That's the matzav that they had back then. That was a minhag they had back then. Okay, someone should do a study on pajamas. When did pajamas come into existence? But okay, back in the day, they didn't sleep with clothing on. And so now, There are two considerations to be had over here. And that is that he wants to say Shema right now. No one else is in bed with him. But right now, he is in line of sight of his own erva. So under those circumstances, he cannot say Shema. And on top of that, there's another consideration as well, which we're going to speak out in just a moment. So, what should you do? So what you should do, says the Braisa, I'm going to start again from the beginning of the Braisa, Yashmit Elisa v'enechol lahotzi es rosho mimnei hatzina. So, chotzis bataliso atzavero v'kor krishma. So in the first version of this Braisa, what you're going to do is that you're going to, you don't want to take your head out because it's freezing. So what you're going to do is somehow wrap the blanket up around your neck so that there is no longer a line of sight from your eyes to your erva. Now, yesh omrim al libo. Now, in another version of the Braisa, what you're going to do is that basically you're going to take the sheet that you're lying down in and you're going to press it against your stomach, right? Literally your heart. In other words, somewhere in the chest area. So that now there will be a separation between your heart and your erva. Tanakama hare libo rosa erva kasava libo rosa erva mutar. Now, according to the Tanakama, so he doesn't feel that this is a consideration. Meaning, here's where we all agree. Your eyes cannot see your erva when you're saying Shema. Again, that's been the big theme of today's daf, right? That you're not allowed to see erva. And you're not allowed to even see your own erva. And so therefore, there must be a separation. On top of that, there's another separation, which is obviously controversial. And that is libo roas erva. Does there need to be a separation between your heart and your erva? So in one version, the first version of the Braisa, there's no consideration. And the second version, that is such a consideration. Okay? The halach is, by the way, that we should try to create separation for both a naim and erva. That's a davar muskam. Everyone agrees to that. And even libos erva, that too, even though in the Gemara there are opinions on the matter, but that also is accepted. Some have a special gartel that they wear during davening in order to create the separation of liboros erva. And okay, so let's stop over here. We're going to let's recap our day. Okay, we started off this morning about what to do with your tefillin at night. Proper storage of the tefillin over the course of the night. In the bed, not by the feet, but by the head. Specifically, where by the head? Various Samaraim had specific places. Rava told his Talmud to go get his tefillin for the sole purpose of teaching his Talmud that, yes, I keep my tefillin by my bed at night. And even when Rava was with his wife the night prior, still, the shmir of tefillin demands that it be kept there. If somebody's else in bed with you, can you say Shema? Shmuel and Rav Yosef are debating this issue regarding, is there a difference between one's wife and somebody else? Shmuel says there's no such difference. And Rav Yosef says, of course there's a difference. When their wife, Ishto Gegufo. Other people, obviously, you don't have that Svara. If you go back to back, are you allowed to say Shema? The Gemara says yes. With the idea that Agavos are not Erva, big topic in today's discussion. The Gemara talked about having young children, and when are you allowed to say Shema? So what exactly is the age of Kentanim in terms of your ability to say Shema? Two brises, two different opinions. The Mekomos HaMechusim, areas that are normally covered, you're not allowed to say Shema if those areas are exposed. Tefach B'Isha Erva, Shok B'Isha Erva, Kol B'Isha Erva, and Seir B'Isha Erva. Okay, so the various areas that are normally covered, and therefore you're not allowed to say Shema if exposed to those areas. The Gemara in the bottom of the Amud talked about hanging your tefillin. Okay, that's inappropriate behavior. Rebbe did hang his tefillin. So the Gemara explained what exactly Rebbe did, a couple of suggestions in terms of that. During davening, what is proper, what's improper? So, belching, yawning, passing gas, sneezing, spitting. So all topics of discussion that we had, Rebbe did many of these activities. The Braisa says you're not allowed to, and the Gemara was miyashev between Rebbe and the Braisa. Raising your voice during Shemona Esrei, not appropriate. You are mekatne amuna, screaming during davening, so you're nevi'e sheker. The Gemara says if it helps you kavana, you're allowed to raise your voice, but you also have to take into consideration if you're together with the seabor. Having the need to pass gas while davening, another big topic of today's discussion. What exactly you should do? Okay, and that's where we stop. Pick it up tomorrow.